The scouts had to come up with a whole new star system just to classify him. It's Bill King.
Buckle with us Tuesdays. And Buck, it came up yesterday on the show. Actually, Cameron said this. She said, and she's in Nebraska, but she's a big A&M fan, that the chalk, those top teams that we're used to, aren't collectively as chalky this year, at least early on through three games. Now, Alabama just played a close one against Florida. Buckeyes haven't looked quite right. Neither has Oklahoma. Georgia's looked good. Clemson offensively struggling, Buck. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's early in the year, but it gives you a chance to see if a team like Ole Miss or Oregon or, you know, some of these other teams that have been kind of vying for some of that attention can move in into that place. I mean, Clemson has just really not looked good at all from an offensive standpoint. And I haven't seen them look this bad offensively since 2014. Now, they play NC State this week, and, you know, will it be the NC State team that looked really good against Furman and USF, or will they play like Mississippi State? You know, that's really the key. But I think, you know, there is some merit to this year, teams not looking quite as good that we're accustomed to seeing play at a high level. I mean, the one that kind of surprises me, and I don't know if they can figure it out, Ohio State. I mean, you've got your defensive coordinator having to see play calling duties to another person, and it's just, you know, they're not getting it done on defense, and they're playing games against teams that maybe they should blow out. I mean, that Oregon game was good, but is that an indictment on Oregon, or is it an indictment on Ohio State? You know, we'll see as the schedule rolls along.
Charles Arbuckle with us. Buck, your thoughts on that Alabama-Florida matchup?
You know, I thought Florida played much better defensively. They were able to score points, and they ran the ball effectively. I was just shocked by that two-point conversion. I mean, I was like, yeah, I even said it to guys I was with. I said, look, we practiced two-point conversions because when I was in the Alliance, we had to have like 10 of them every week, and then we whittled it down to our top five or something like that. So, because, yeah, you know, you had to run it every single play. You didn't have a extra point in your bag, so you had to make sure you had the best two-point conversions. And I just didn't like that play at all because it gave you no chance to get the quarterback outside. It didn't challenge Alabama other than just saying, here's our running back and our quarterback, and you tackle both of them. That was kind of a disappointment to me from an offensive guy like Dan Mullen. And it's easy to second guess and do all of that, but I just think when you're in that position, sometimes you look at everything else and you forget that you could be in that position to win a game or tie a game like that and be in a place where you may be able to challenge. And it just looked like they weren't prepared to have a two-point play that would help them and get the quarterback out on the edge or do something to challenge Alabama the way they had in that second half.
We've seen quarterbacks, running backs, hold that mesh point for, you know, several seconds until they can read where to go next. But that was just discombobulated. That looked, yeah. I don't know what that was.
You know, nobody ever said it, but I was wondering if the quarterback thought he didn't have the ball. Because sometimes you do hold it a long time just to make sure that the running back has it.
Right.
But it just something didn't look right with the play. It looked off. It looked like they were thinking of two different plays but ran one, and nobody knew exactly which play they were running. And I felt bad for them because, you know, they competed all the way and got back to that point. You're thinking, man, overtime, take Alabama in overtime, maybe you have a chance, I don't know.
Any concerns about Alabama?
You know, I think there has to be some concern about their defense. You know, I thought we came in thinking, yeah, they were going to be, like Karen said, chalk, and some of the things that were talked about before the season, and I don't care how many guys you think you can replace, Bill. I think there's also the level of you still have to have guys that understand the level of what you're replacing. So, you know, I think what it does for Florida, it gives them some encouragement. They don't want moral victories, and I know Gator fans aren't happy with that. I just think there are some things that you can look at from that film if you're playing Alabama to say, hey, if we can attack here, we have opportunities. If we can slow down their passing game and, you know, not let them just run roughshod over you, there's some opportunities. Now, can you do it? That will be the other thing. I think, you know, will we learn more about Florida out of this loss, or will we learn more about Alabama out of the win? That's what happens the next few weeks. You know, we'll see if this Florida team is for real and if they'll come back and play as consistently as they did in that second half, in particular against Alabama, or will Alabama show, hey, look, you know, we corrected what we had wrong and now we're ready to move on. So whoever else wants to come and think they can take this title, you know, more than welcome to try it.
Georgia looks very complete right now.
Yeah. I was the only thing I've ever had questions about with Georgia was the ability to throw the football, yeah. And it looks like they can do that pretty well. You know, it's just one sample size, right? But the more I'm watching them and that offense, the more I see that defense is just nasty. It is, and if you have an offense with a defense like that, it encourages me to see that, because I think that, you know, everybody has been waiting to see, okay, in the SEC championship game or whenever you have to face Bama eventually, will you be able to hold up and score points with your defense that, you know, as a mini-me version of what Nick Saban had for so many years? I think it lends itself to say, okay, is Georgia the team now that can get up there and maybe do that? You know, they sure look like it right now. But, again, Bill, you know this as well as I do. This thing changes so quick, doesn't it?
Yeah, every week's a reset's the way I look at it. Now, I don't know if Michigan's got anybody that's fighting them back very well yet, but do they look more for real to you?
Yeah, you know, I've been pleasantly surprised with Michigan. I think what you just said is the part that's hard for me, because I don't know if they're playing anybody that can really give them a challenge yet. But I like what I've seen. I think Michigan has done their best at playing at the highest level that they can. And we've seen this sometimes where they have not done that. And they've actually looked pretty good. I'll say this. I think this weekend with this Rutgers squad, it's not going to be an easy game. I don't foresee them having too many struggles, but I'll say this, that Rutgers ball club always seems to have a way to understand how to play you tough. If they come out of that and they look, you know, still look like they have in these first 3 weeks, then we can maybe start talking about Michigan being that team that might be able to compete. The biggest thing for them is, yeah, how well they play during the season, and can they beat Ohio State? Ohio State still has all that speed and weaponry on the outside, and Michigan's going to have to match up with that at some point. So it's just interesting to watch Michigan, and I think I'm really looking at that October 2nd game against Wisconsin to say, okay, is this team for real? If they handle Rutgers this week and then looking off on the horizon, if they play well against Wisconsin, then I think we can start talking about Michigan being a team to beat. I'll tell you, the Big Ten, you know, that Penn State, man, that looked awesome, that whiteout. And just, you know, as poor as Ohio State is playing, there's still some other teams that make you think, okay, this is a legit league. I mean, look at Minnesota throttling Colorado. And Colorado had looked good early in the year. There's some teams out of the Big Ten, Michigan State going down to Miami and laying the hammer on Miami. I know Miami is not what we thought Miami was going to be, but I think still the Big Ten has to early on kind of they're flexing some muscles a little bit early in this season.
A&M and Arkansas, Buck. I know Texas and Arkansas used to be a thing, and some very famous games played, but this A&M Arkansas game is interesting.
It is. It is. You know, anytime Arkansas can beat a team from the state of Texas, in particular the two top flagship schools, they love doing it. So I would say just be prepared for a knockdown drag out.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's going to be one of those games. I think the thing with Arkansas is that we clearly see their 3-0. They play some really good football, and they know where A&M kind of sits in the hierarchy right now, early in the year of SEC. And for them to, you know, for them to be able to knock off a team that's from the old Southwest Conference kind of era, a Texas team, and a team that's considered to be one of the, you know, maybe the premier teams of the league, that only helps. And I'll say this. I mean, Sam Pittman has done an awesome job coaching that team. They have played some really good football. They look sound on defense. They look, you know, when they play offense, they play it well. I've just been impressed with watching them because they don't beat themselves. And if they can continue to do that, you know, I'm really looking forward to how Jimbo coaches this game and how Sam Pittman has just really done a nice job getting this team prepared every single week, and they seem to understand what it takes to win and not be afraid, not worry about the opponent. They just take care of themselves.
Buck, what's wrong with Oklahoma?
Man, I can't figure it out. The first time you think, okay, well, they took their foot off the brake, right? They're not focused. They're not doing this. Something doesn't look right at Oklahoma. And I have no idea what it is. It's one of those things that each week it seems to be something different, as opposed, okay, there's one thing that kind of points you to what's not happening well with them. And I don't know. It's you can't say they don't have the talent, because clearly, you know, they're talented on offense, they're talented on defense. It's just like they're not getting it done, and then they have to come from behind or play. They're always playing catch up instead of playing out in front like we're accustomed to seeing them play. And I'll say this, Nebraska, we have to give Nebraska some credit, whether we want to or not. And I think, you know, you go back to the old rivalry game, Nebraska played much better than they have been playing. But Oklahoma has not played to the level of the Oklahoma team we expected coming into the season all year. So will it catch up with them? If they keep playing down and not playing up to the level of what they can, yes. But I haven't been able to figure it out. And it's nothing that just stands right out. Maybe the Oklahoma folks know, but it's been tough to kind of get a beat on why they haven't been able to consistently play ball and play at the level that we thought they would be coming into the season.
Charles Arbuckle with us every Tuesday. Buck, what about Wisconsin-Notre Dame in Chicago this weekend? What do you think goes on there? It's going to be a tough line of scrimmage game, I would think.
I think so, too. Yeah, I don't know. You talk about a team I don't really know yet, and that's Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's you talk about another ball club that's played some games early on, and, you know, have they looked good? Yeah, but are they really as good as their record? I don't know. And I think, to your point, the line of scrimmage matchup, even though Wisconsin is 1-1, I think that line of scrimmage is going to be that's going to be tough. And, you know, will Wisconsin be able to just establish its dominance like they like to do? And will Notre Dame be able to get some things going? I don't know Notre Dame. And that, you talk about a team that I'm trying to figure out, like, okay, they're 3-0, but how have they been able to get to 3-0? And that's going to be interesting, because they then begin a stretch of games where they're going to play some really good teams, starting off with Wisconsin, that's going to tell you a lot more about them over the next few weeks.
Buck, have a good rest of your day, sir. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Okay, man. You have a good one. Good talking to you.
There he is. Mr. Charles Arbuckle joins us every Tuesday. And